Quinol reel 12.
You were introduced during this period to bombing as a new activity, something you were trained to do. Could you tell me how you got instructions and what kind of bombs you had?
Yes. At this period, we were introduced on one or two of the German raids to the stick bombs. Now, stick bomb, just imagine a 1 pound jam tin. Attached to it is a long wooden handle, about a foot long, which was hollow. At the end of this stick was a cap which unscrewed. And when you unscrewed that, a tab fell out attached to a string. And the Germans used to pull the string. They had 5 seconds in which to throw the bomb. And then the canister used to explode, and we used to get smothered in shrapnel. Well, now, to combat that, this was quite a new thing to us. And to combat that, one day we were out of the line in Armentières, and the order came out that all corporals were to meet at the battalion headquarters at such and such a time. I was then a corporal. So we met at the headquarters, and we were marched to a place of open space on the outskirts of the town of Armentières. There was a RE sergeant, Royal Engineer Sergeant, and he had a lot of Tickler's, empty Tickler's jam tins there.
I've not heard of Tickler's jam.
Well, Tickler's, when the war first broke out in 1914, it was in August 14, and the only fruit available for making troops jam was plum or apple. So Tickler's, the jam manufacturers, used to make they must have made millions of tins of P&A, plum and apple.
Wasn't there a song about Tickler's?
Oh, yes.
Can you remember?
It goes like this. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war. What do we want with eggs and ham when we got bags of Tickler's jam? As soon as reveille is heard, we never get out of bed. Oh, we never get up till the sergeant brings our breakfast up in bed. Oh, 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 it's a lovely war. What do we want with eggs and ham when we got bags of Tickler's jam? Halt, right, left, turn. What do we do with the money we earn? Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
It's very good. Sorry, you were explaining how they had all of these jam pots.
Yes, well, we looked at the jam pots and we looked at one another and we think, what the hell's this? Well, the sergeant then performs. Gather round in a circle, and he gets a wad of gun cotton, which is about 2 inches in diameter. It's got a hole right down the centre. To that, he attached a length of fuse wire, about a foot long. He tied that onto the gun cotton, put it in the jam tin, filled up the jam tin with pebbles, any bits of iron, any small stuff, and then he closed the lid over. And then he said, has anybody here had any experience at plumbing? Well, now, by this time, we've learned never to volunteer for anything in the army. So we look at one another. He said, or anybody done any soldering in a factory? We all looked at one another. No response. And so, well, now, he said, what we've got to do is to solder these lids down. And this is going to make a bomb which we can throw at the Germans. Well, you'd be surprised how interested everybody was in the rear rank. Nobody wanted to be in the front rank. You just imagine going round a jam tin, soldering with a red-hot soldering iron, and there's a lump of gun cotton inside the jam tin. Well, everybody took about 6 paces very smartly to the rear. But Anyway, there were no volunteers for this. And we didn't see the sergeant put the solder around the top. So there were no volunteers, and so we marched back to our battalion.
And that was the end of that?
That was the end of that, yeah. But the,
another song or a rhyme about the bombs with the string fuses?
Oh, they used to, yeah, the song, don't mean a thing if you don't pull the string.
Was that a song or just a saying?
A saying, that was. Yeah.
Whilst we're on sort of songs and sayings,
yeah.
Were there any others that you remember from this period?
Oh, yes.
That the troops themselves sort
yeah.
of...
There was one, the British soldier can always laugh at himself, you know. There was another song... I want to go home, I want to go home. Whiz-bang Jack Johnson's cold boxes, oh Lord. Don't want to go to the trenches no more. Send me over the sea, where the Allemans can't shoot at me. Oh my, I don't want to die. I want to go home. And there was another one.
Right.
Far, far from Ypres, I long to be where German snipers can't shoot at me. Think of me crouching where the worms creep, waiting for Sergeant to sing me to sleep.
One of your other experiences during one of your periods out of line near Armentières was the first, in your experience, formation of trench mortar batteries. How did you become involved in that?
Well, we were losing so many men with the German mortars. In fact, we lost more men with German mortars, trench mortars, than we did with actual shell fire at that time. And so to combat that, the British formed trench mortar brigades. Now, they were infantrymen, and they were volunteers. It was explained to us that a trench mortar battery was going to be formed to each brigade, and would anybody like to volunteer for it? Well, the various chaps volunteered for it, and the trench mortar that was sent to us was the 60 pounder. Now, just imagine a sphere, small, slightly smaller than the standard size football, but metal. And to that was attached a long stem, about 3 feet long, about 2 inches in diameter, metal also. And I never knew how they were detonated, because it wasn't our job. Our job was to carry them up for the trench mortar brigade. But I never knew how they were detonated, but of course the chaps who were in the trench mortar brigade, they were taught all the various things. And then came the time when we had to dig emplacements for these trench mortars.
Where would you position these?
Now they were, a short trench would be dug at the back of the trench, somewhere in the neighbourhood of 10 to 12 yards, and then open up to a small room which would be somewhere in the neighbourhood of about 8 feet square.
Would it be covered over the
top? No, no covering over the top. Then the trench mortar emplacement was on a wooden platform with a socket in which the stem of the trench mortar was placed, and when that was sent off, that would sail up into the air, and the long stem would make the bomb fall on the sphere first of all, which would detonate.
I see. Good. During this period, yes?
Then the next one to come out was a Stokes trench mortar. Now, this was much smaller. It was only a 2-inch mortar, but the rapidity of fire had to be seen to be believed. Yeah. It could fire as fast as you fed it.
Yeah.
Now, this was also a small wooden platform. Now, the Stokes trench mortar could be fired from a trench.
Yeah.
A small wooden platform and just the small stem of about 2 inches in diameter, which could be elevated or lowered as the team wanted it. And this trench mortar would be only about 2 inches in diameter, and right at the bottom of this stem would be protruding a little finger of metal. And on the bottom of the trench, the Stokes trench mortar, would be a percussion cap. So as you fed this, say this is the tube, as you fed the mortar in there, you put your hand, let it go into there, and put your hand down there in front of it. Because if you put your hand up there, you'd blow your hand off.
Yes.
And the it would slide down the tube. The percussion cap would hit the little finger of metal, and away it would go. And that would keep up a continuous fire as fast as you fed it.
Yeah. There's one other question that's just occurred to me. During your periods out of the line, was there any need to give yourself, the infantry soldier, any additional training at all? Because he may not have received this training in England before he was sent out to the war. Any aspects of the rifle, for example?
The only thing we had in training there was we had new gas masks. The first gas masks that were issued were simply pieces of curtaining, you know, the ordinary curtain, which were wrapped round some cotton wool, and then we could tie them at the back of our heads, and we had to keep that cotton wool moist. Then came the next thing we had was a gas mask, a hood with goggles, eyepieces, with a tube which you had to put in your mouth and breathe through that tube. Then as these things came along, so it became a drill, and you had to carry these gas masks about with it wherever you went, whether you're in the line or out of the line.
I see. Any other things you had to learn?
Yes. There was a large quarry on the outskirts of the town, and in platoons, we were marched there to become acquainted with the peculiarities of our rifle. Now, our standard rifle was the Royal Enfield, and a very, very good rifle it was. The only thing about it was that it was never zeroed properly. So if you aligned your sights, your rifle had its peculiarity. Now, the rifle I had was, to get at 200 yards, to get onto the target, to get a bull, I had to aim 2 feet to the left. And if I aim 2 feet to the left at 200 yards, I could get under the target. Now, every rifle had its own peculiarity. They were never zeroed. As time went on, we lost several men through being sniped with the Germans. They were very, very good at their camouflage. And our snipers made good use of this quarry, because they became so used to their rifle that they took their toll of the Germans.
Another.